The zooming of new COVID-19 cases of late has produced a lot of hard decisions about the situations in which people can safely gather in groups. And at the moment, the prevailing feeling is that there are few situations in which people can safely gather. So it was not a big surprise when Grants Pass School District announced yesterday that it would not bring more students back to campus after Thanksgiving. The plan to put more students in schools was announced just a week earlier, but conditions in the pandemic obviously changed rapidly. Now CDL will be the order of the day, comprehensive distance learning. Kirk Kolb is the Grants Pass School Superintendent. You heard him already in our news segment. He's here on the phone with us live now. Superintendent, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, a week makes a huge difference. November 17th, the news release was headlined, Grants Pass School District 7 announces reopening plans versus what you had to put out yesterday. Take us back a week. What were you looking at when you made the plans to reopen?
A lot of excitement still, you know, being in the yellow, kind of anticipating we were going to hit the transition stage. A lot of excitement that we were managing to stay just under the metrics and be able to start bringing more kids back. So, it was a lot of excitement last week and a lot of positive feedback for sure.
So the metrics had changed over time, though. I mean, you were looking at different requirements and different sets of numbers to match those requirements coming into, early last week anyway.
Yeah, so when the metrics changed, it was great news for Grants Pass. We were in the green, which meant we could bring as many students back as we wanted to. But within 1 week, we quickly moved into the yellow. And we held in the yellow, which allowed us to bring a group of students back and build upon that over time. And so we have our plans all they're on the shelf now, but our plans to do that. And the first thing we were going to do was bring back fourth and fifth graders because we already had kinder through third attending with us. And so, but quickly we moved from yellow into the transition phase, which we could have held on to those plans, which is where we're at right now. We had a very sobering meeting with the local health authority here in Josephine County on Monday. Was with a massive spike in the last few days, which we're only about 15 to 20 positive cases until we are firmly in the red zone, which means comprehensive distance learning for all. After that meeting, and knowing that we've had quarantine different classrooms in the last 2 weeks, we're seeing an increase in the number of individuals in our schools. That combined with the information received from the health authority just compelled us to make the safest decision for staff and students and do our part in curbing the transmission of COVID.
So, Superintendent, how many of the K-3 students had come back? Were they all back?
Yeah, they were all back on a hybrid model, so they attended 2 days a week with live and in person because we had to keep the cohort small. We have to adhere to 35 square feet per person, 6 feet of social distancing, everybody wearing masks. So we weren't able to bring all of them back together at one time, so we had a hybrid model for all K-3 students.
And the K-3 students now, they will also not come back to school after Thanksgiving?
That is correct. Unfortunate, but that is correct.
All right, moving in the opposite direction then. Kirk Kolb is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Grants Pass School District 7 superintendent. We're talking about what was announced a week ago as a plan to bring more grades back into school, had to completely reverse yesterday, and now the whole district is going to comprehensive distance learning. Questions, comments, welcome via email here on the Jefferson Exchange, jx@jeffnet.org. So the numbers had been in your favor, and so in early November, I mean, did it look like you were actually seeing a lessening of cases over time?
It wasn't a lessening of cases. They were slowly building, but not at a rate that we felt we couldn't move forward with adding more students back.
All right. So it wasn't like things changed quickly. It was just that they got less good.
Yeah, they got less good, but there was a quick change from Friday through to Monday with the announcement of 43 new cases over the weekend. That's almost double any other day that we've had here in Josephine County.
You observe that this is likely a huge relief for some people and a giant disappointment for others. That's what you spelled out in the news release of yesterday. You're in the middle, no matter how strong the feelings. Have people been contacting the district a lot?
Yeah, we sent obviously a variety of mediums of communication to families, and we have gotten feedback. And it's been about a 50-50 mix of people incredibly disappointed and frustrated, and people who are grateful that we're putting the safety of our staff and students first. And, not an easy decision for sure.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough set of decisions, it sounds like. I mean, who besides you gets involved in the decision-making process when you're thinking first in terms of like, well, we probably can pull this off with the fourth and fifth graders, and then to have to change the decision announced yesterday?
Yeah, so my central office team of directors are integral in making those decisions. They have a real good pulse on what's going on in our schools. And then I probably have the best safety officer in the state of Oregon in my director, Sherry Ely, who is phenomenal, a great communicator, really processes things well. She has helped us set up the systems that have allowed us to have the kids back that we've had.
All right. So, and then what's the number when you mentioned that that you're splitting things up with the hybrid thing, 2 days a week? How many students do you have in K-3? And so how many were in school at any given time?
Yeah. So at any given time, we had, I would say, approximately about 145 per elementary school. Multiply that by six. So, we were pushing probably 700 to 800 kids per day were in our elementary schools.
Mm-hmm. But 145 per school is way below capacity. Schools are usually set for what, like 500 for elementary school?
Yeah, our school sizes are about 450 to 500 students.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you certainly didn't have a lot of people. And then what kinds of procedures were you going through when the K-3 students have been in school to make sure that everything is nice and clean, sanitized, et cetera?
That's the big feat. So when students show up, they're immediately checked their temperature and visually assessed for positive health. Make sure they have their mask on. They report straight to their classroom where they have breakfast. They can remove their masks to eat. They're socially distanced. All the desks are 6 feet apart. We have these fogger devices that we sanitize the entire building every night, and then we sanitize our restrooms on a regular schedule during the day. Students eat lunch in the classroom, and they are in that one cohort the entire day, so they almost never leave the classroom itself. And then we have itinerant staff, so our PE and music teachers would actually rove around to each classroom to give them some opportunities for music and some physical exercise in their classrooms, obviously still maintaining that social distance. So a lot of procedures around making sure things are safe.
Had the students gotten any outside time? Do they get anything like recess, given that they're in the cohorts?
Yeah. In good weather, we definitely want to get them outside. And so, the requirements change to where now they even have to wear masks outside if they're at school. So, but the kids have been incredibly resilient and following the expectations. We're very pleasantly surprised. One of the biggest concerns families had was making little ones wear masks all day, and these kids are amazing and have done a great job with adhering to that.
Really? They took to that?
They did, yeah. It's not that they took to it, and they need lots of little reminders, but for the vast majority, it was no big deal. With kids, they are learning a new normal that we as adults have a real hard time adjusting to. Kids are incredibly resilient and have done a tremendous job.
Kirk Kolb, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the superintendent of Grants Pass School District 7, which had been planning to bring back more students, fourth and fifth graders, to the schools after Thanksgiving, instead had to reverse that decision and to say everybody's going to go home and go back to CDL, comprehensive distance learning, with an announcement yesterday because of the rising numbers of cases in the region and around Grants Pass and, well, pretty much everywhere. You can join our conversation on the Exchange. You are welcome to chime in with your own questions and comments by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Through all of this, what have been some of the major concerns in or out of school, no matter where they are taking their learning? What are the major concerns that the parents have been bringing to you, and students for that matter, too?
Yeah, so working, you know, our hearts go out to these families because we have working parents. Both parents have a job, and if you've got a little one, you need somebody to help that student log in daily to their learning management system and their Zoom meetings. And so that's the biggest challenge that we hear about, especially for our little ones. I have a middle school daughter and a high school daughter, and having both parents as educators, they're pretty diligent and have a routine and are doing pretty good. But it's our youngest kids that we have the greatest concern. And so now that they're sent home, this was a difficult decision, definitely not taken lightly given those circumstances.
And do you have any projections based on the metrics, how long this is likely to last? It seems, I mean, I just as a guess, I would think it might be jarring to bring them back into school for like a week before Christmas and then send them home again for 2 weeks again.
Yeah, we believe the earliest we'll be able to bring them back is January 4th, right after the Christmas break.
All right. So, and then talk in general terms, if you would, Kirk. I mean, I was asking what students and parents are bringing to you. Now, how about the staff? I mean, how do teachers feel? How effective do they feel they can be on screen in the little windows?
Yeah, well, the staff response is just as mixed as our community and the public. We have teachers who are very concerned about maybe the health of themselves or their family members, since adults are more susceptible and children tend to be asymptomatic. There's a number of staff who are incredibly concerned about having kids back even at the level we did. And then we have a large group of teachers who are clamoring. They got into this business because they love kids. They love to teach. They love watching the aha moments for our students and are just passionate educators who are longing to have that face time with kids and build those relationships and see those successes. So with staff, it's been mixed as well.
Those aha moments are very different, I'm guessing, when you're kind of squinting at a screen and you can't give the pat on the back when somebody gets something.
Yeah, it is. You know, we've had a lot of conversation about should we make students turn their cameras on, and we've arrived at yes, it's really important to have their cameras on, and to see that, and just being attentive to just the physical manner in which they may or may not be participating on the screen. Those aha moments are not quite as thrilling right now under the circumstances.
So, Kirk, what's the status of hardware, software, connections to the net, all the basic things you need to keep comprehensive distance learning working? Or all the stuff you need, is it in place?
Yeah, we are fortunate. We got out way in front of this, and we ordered about an additional 1,500 Chromebooks. We're a school district of about 6,200 students, and we have about 7,000 of those devices available. Some for backup, some are in disrepair, but we were able to supply any student that needed a Chromebook. And then we also worked with a local provider for cellular hotspots for those that didn't have connectivity, and we check those out to families, and we pay the monthly fee it takes to keep those hooked up. You know, staff, we had to buy probably 400 cameras to install on our desktop machines because they don't come standard equipped. So we added cameras for staff. We added devices for students. We purchased a learning management system called Canvas, the beautiful thing about this Canvas tool is it's not just something we would use for remote learning. It's something that teachers will continue to utilize to communicate with students post grades, give feedback post assignments. It's the same system that the Oregon University system uses. So University of Oregon, Oregon State, they also use Canvas. So the real benefit is we're providing our students an experience that will help them get ready for their post-secondary opportunities. So, yes, we are very technology-heavy and made that switch a lot faster than anybody would have anticipated.
Right, so all the tools in place for sure, but beyond that and beyond the health numbers, I mean, what do measures of student achievement tell you about how students are doing in this environment?
Yeah, and that's pretty mixed as well. I would say at our secondary level, where we have an A through F system, that at least 40 to 50% of our students probably have one F or more right now. So that obviously is very concerning, that rate being a lot higher. But surprisingly, our attendance rates and the way we take attendance is students check into every class every day. They log into their learning management system to do their assignments. Our attendance rates have been surprisingly good for the vast majority.
Interesting. So better than they were when everybody was in school?
Ironically enough, yes, it is slightly better than prior. Where the real drop off happens is those kids who completely disengaged. We have students that should have been on our books that we have not been able to get a hold of, whether it's via phone or email communication or even physically going to homes. There are students that have come off our books that we just haven't been able to reach or connect with, and that's very concerning.
Okay, yeah, you totally lost track of that. Okay, so are you buoyed somewhat by the nearly daily news about the vaccine gains of late?
You know, it creates some optimism, I think, for everybody. Obviously the first group of folks that are going to be given the vaccines are going to be healthcare workers and the elderly. But it's my understanding that educators will fall into that second tier of folks who will be eligible for the vaccine. So that gives a little bit more hope that maybe by the mid-spring we'll be really seeing it heading the other direction.
So what is the soonest that you'll reassess the possibilities for bringing students back into school?
We mentioned
no sooner than January 4th. When will you sit down and look at the schedule?
We'll be looking at it weekly. We get a weekly report that does a 2-week look back on the number of positive cases in Josephine County, and that is what the driver is. To jerk families in and out of this is not a light decision, and so we have a long way to go as a county to get back into the yellow zone of bringing it, which allows us to bring kids back. So we will monitor weekly. We're hopeful that something turns here in the next couple of weeks and that we will be able to firmly say we will bring back by January 4th. The reality of that is very much up in the air.
So just a couple seconds left. After this situation, is greater caution dictated in even raising the issue?
We greater caution for sure.
All right, Kirk Kolb, the superintendent at Grants Pass School District 7, which had K-3 students in schools, was thinking of bringing 4th and 5th graders back after Thanksgiving. That plan had to be scrapped because of rising numbers all over the place. Superintendent Kolb, thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.